Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters. And I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune into the broadcast today. Your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 29 minutes and a few seconds, let's add to our wellness experiences. Let's do some housekeeping first. Please go to Wiser Living, WEISERLiving.com, and on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. By subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archived radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, programs and services, Wiser Living seminars, recipes and products at wiserliving.com. So do look at these areas at your earliest convenience, and I thank you. So as a matter of fact, let me just go over that one more time because I probably went a little fast. That would be wiserliving.com. Check it out. Sign up. Subscribe at Wiser Living TV. Follow us at Wiser Living Radio. And like us at facebook.com/wiserliving if you're on that medium. And you can also connect with us at Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and Pinterest. So with that, let's start with our topic today, which is carbohydrates, or what most people say, they say carbs, you know, no carbs, low carbs, high carbs, these carbs, those carbs. So let's talk about carbohydrates. And, you know, there's so much information, misinformation, old information. It's just incredible, just the amount of hours that I had to spend with this topic today. Carbohydrates are among the most abundant compounds on the earth. I mean, they're normally broken down into five major classifications of carbohydrates, like monosaccharides, disaccharides, oligosaccharides, polysaccharides, and even nucleotides, which some of you may not be familiar with. But the word monosaccharide itself, it actually comes from mono. And some of you probably heard of mononucleosis. I'm not talking about that virus, but mono meaning one, and saccharide meaning sugar. Common monosaccharides or common sugars are glucose, mannose, xylose, fructose, galactose. There's some N-acetyls called N-acetylglucosamine, N-acetylgalactosamine, N-acetylneuraminic acid. These are a simple or monosaccharides that are very important, which I'll talk about a little later. But glucose is one of the main sugars metabolized by the body for energy. And I think that's where this years ago they had the glucose one theory, which meant that, you know, all sugars basically were metabolized into glucose and they just used energy. Whereas that is true, but they're not all used for energy. And saying that, sources of glucose include starch, which is the major form of carbohydrate in plants. Another carbohydrate, galactose, is nearly identical in its structure to glucose. Galactose is not normally found in nature in large quantities, but it combines with glucose to form lactose in milk. Most of you know lactose is a milk sugar, and after being absorbed by the body, galactose is converted into glucose by the liver so that it can be used to provide energy for the body. So far, we can see that the liver is very important to metabolize carbohydrates. A disaccharide is a combination of two sugars. You know, di meaning two. Lactose would be a common example of that. Lactose or milk sugars formed through the condensation of glucose and galactose. Now, people that are lactose intolerant, they usually don't have the enzyme lactase in their gut to break it down. So now we can see that the intestinal tract, along with the liver, are important organs for the proper assimilation, metabolism, and breakdown and utilization of carbohydrates. So we can't just talk about carbohydrates in and of themselves. Oligosaccharides are carbohydrates that contain more than two simple sugars. Oligosaccharides have between 3 to 10 sugars attached, like in a train, a little short train, on a train track. Important oligosaccharides are raffinose and stachyose, and you probably haven't even heard of those, but these are composed of repeating units of glucose, which you have heard of, galactose, which you have heard of, and fructose, which you've heard of. These types of oligosaccharides are of nutritional importance because they are found in beans and legumes. Now, because of their rather unique structure, raffinose and stachyose cannot be broken down in their simple sugars, which means that they cannot be absorbed by the small intestine. They are metabolized by bacteria in the large intestine. So now we can add beneficial bacteria along with the liver and the intestines as important entities to break down, utilize, and metabolize the carbohydrates we consume on a daily basis. And then there's polysaccharides. Polysaccharides are basically, I guess they're also called complex carbohydrates, consist of thousands of repeating glucose units. And naturally, they allow for the storage of large quantities of glucose. Now, starch is the major storage form of carbohydrates in plants. Now, some sources of starch include potatoes, beans, bread, pasta, and rice. So you may not know the science terms, but you know it as it relates to food because you're consuming these foods all the time, these carbohydrates all the time. So all of these break down into sugar. Now, the main storage form of carbohydrates or the carbohydrates and glucose in us as humans is in the form of glycogen. Now, glycogen is stored in the liver, and it's stored also in the muscles, and it's specifically skeletal muscles. There are some polysaccharides that the body cannot digest or break down. These carbohydrates are known as dietary fibers, and these can come in a number of different combinations: cellulose, hemicellulose, pectin, gum, mucilage, all come under the carbohydrate dietary fiber category. So these are dietary fiber, units. Or foods that your body cannot process, but they are utilized in the body for very important house cleaning, especially in the intestinal tract. So as you are aware, cellulose is by far the most abundant biochemical compound on Earth because it forms part of the structure of many plants. And finally, we have the nucleotides. These carbohydrates or sugars are important because they are found in the nucleotides such as DNA and RNA inside the cells of our body. And basically it helps to supply energy to the cell as well. So you can see how important carbohydrates are, especially in energy, and not just the energy you running, say, up some steps or in a park or on a track. It's important for the cell. You have this thing called the powerhouse of the cell called the mitochondria. It has to break down these saccharides or these sugars in order for the cell to get energy, the tissue to get energy, the organ to get energy, the organ system to get energy, and so forth and so on. So when we talk about nucleotides, there's I could probably talk about it for another hour, but can't do that today. So just remember that it helps to supply energy to the cell. Now, and speaking of that, carbohydrates have six major functions, and these functions are within the body. They provide energy, and they regulate glucose in the bloodstream. They spare the use of proteins for energy. They break down fatty acids and prevent ketosis. Oh, ketosis, strange word. Ketosis is a condition that is caused by a raised levels of ketone bodies in the body, and it's associated with abnormal fat metabolism and diabetes. A ketone is a chemical substance that the body makes when it doesn't have enough insulin in the blood. So when ketones build up in the body for a long time, serious illnesses or a coma can be the end result, like diabetic ketoacidosis. When you go to the doctor, that's what you say. You know, you give the layman's terms, but they have to write it down in a scientific term. So diabetic ketoacidosis, which means there's not enough blood sugar in the bloodstream. Now, there are more than 200, 200 sugars found in nature, and most of them are absorbed by the body and burned as fuel, but some of them aren't. Some sugars feed the immune system so it can function properly. Isn't that amazing? So the immune system kind of likes sugar. So as you, or carbohydrates, as you may be aware of, the immune system, or at least 70-80% of it, resides in the colon, which means you need a nice functioning colon flora for the immune system to function well. And it needs carbohydrates so it can recognize invaders that don't belong in your body. So what's so interesting about the immune system is that if it can recognize an invader, now get this now, if it can recognize an invader, when I say invader, I mean anything that does not belong in your body or can adversely affect your body. It will isolate it, neutralize it, and finally eliminate it from the body, but it requires specific carbohydrates to accomplish that task. Carbohydrates like glucose, galactose, mannose, and xylose. I mean, these carbohydrates can link up in different combinations to form letters and words that actually allow the human body to communicate its needs. It's, and when I say needs, I'm talking about nutrition needs, defense needs, cleansing needs, temperature needs, hormonal regulation needs, detoxification needs. So if there is a missing carbohydrate or your body is unable to make the missing carbohydrate or sugar, it can lead to dysfunction and a disease state can take hold. So when you consume food, the pancreas will sense that there's a rise in blood glucose and it will begin to release a hormone called insulin. Insulin will land on many of the cells in your body and facilitate the uptake of glucose into the cell. Now, in the liver, insulin from the pancreas will cause the uptake of glucose and the breakdown of glycogen, which is stored liver glucose or stored liver sugar. In this way, the liver is able to remove excessive levels of glucose in the bloodstream through the action of insulin. So now you have to add the pancreas along with the intestine and the liver as important, and the immune system as important entities that are needed in the body for carbohydrates to be effective. So in contrast, the hormone glucagon is released into the bloodstream by the pancreas when it senses falling levels of glucose in the blood. So when insulin attaches to, your skeletal muscles, like your gluteus maximus, your trapezius muscle, your deltoid muscle, or your quadriceps, you know, in your leg, or your hamstring in your leg, and your brain cells, glucagon acts to decrease the amount of glucose in the bloodstream. This hormone slows down the uptake of glucose by the muscle and other cells and promotes the breakdown of glycogen in the liver in order to release glucose in the blood. So glucagon also promotes the making, they call it gluconeogenesis, but it promotes the making of glucose from amino acids. Yeah, amino acids. So amino acids come from where? From sources like meat, as well as from sources like pea protein. So carbohydrates are very important. And as a matter of fact, other hormones of importance in glucose regulation are epinephrine and cortisol. Both hormones are released from the adrenal glands. However, epinephrine mimics the effects of glucagon, while cortisol mobilizes glucose during periods of emotional stress or exercise, which is why you should not consume processed sugars when you are upset or depressed. Why? Because it'll make you fat. A carbohydrate that's supposed to be good for you in excess when you're upset will make you fat or depressed, which is a prolonged upsetness I'll call this the down-low scale. Now, despite the liver's unique ability to maintain homeostasis, which is the kind of like a level, or homeostatic levels of blood glucose, which is like a normal level, it only stores enough for a 24-hour period of fasting. After 24 hours, the tissues in the body that rely on glucose, particularly in the brain and skeletal muscles, must seek alternative energy sources. Now, during fasting periods, when the insulin to glucagon ratio is low, fatty tissue begins to release fatty acids into the bloodstream. So your muscles will begin to use these fatty acids for energy during resting conditions, at least up to like 24 hours. But unfortunately, the brain cannot afford the same luxury. So what your body will do is select proteins from various body tissues and break them down into amino acids, and the liver will use it to produce glucose for the brain. That is one reason why your mental clarity increases when you're fasting. If you want to get a, say you want to get a good grade on an examination, you fast before that test, at least say, 16 to 24 hours before the test. And while you're taking the test, suck on some hard candy. You know, the glucose will go straight to your brain so you can select the right answer and get a good grade on your test, provided you study. You can't just, fast and eat some sugar and say, okay, I'm going to get a, the answer is going to jump out of the question. You have to study. Study to show yourself approved, as it says in one of my favorite, my three favorite books. Now, carbohydrates provide fuel for your body in the form of glucose or sugar, as we said. There are two types of carbohydrates. They're simple and complex. The simple ones are sugars such as the ones found in candy and fruit and baked goods. The complex ones are starches found in beans and nuts and vegetables and whole grains. Now, in saying that, two-thirds of Americans are either overweight or they're obese. This means we have an epidemic on our hands. Now, this is the result of eating far too many processed foods and believing that the low-fat myth that's been traveling around and circling around and flying over us for the last, three decades, at least. Two things could drastically reduce or curtail this problem is to radically reduce grains and processed sugars. And I know some of you right now is going, grains? I got to reduce grains? I can't. I've been eating grains all my life. Well, what most people don't know is that you don't actually need carbohydrates. Okay, if you've been slacking and sleeping right now and you're kind of like going in and out, that just woke you up, didn't it? Let me say it again. What most people don't realize is that you don't actually need carbohydrates. Operative word, need. In other words, they are necessary but not essential for survival, and even the recommended daily allowance for carbohydrates is actually zero. So if you ate no carbohydrate, like many of the traditional Inuits do, you would survive as long as you had enough high-quality protein, fat, water, and minerals. Now, this is not true for any other nutrient. But as Jim Rohn says, if you know who he is, he goes, however, I like the way he says it, however, I am not recommending that you avoid all carbohydrates, because an ideal diet includes healthy carbohydrates, operative word, healthy. It's just less than the average adult consumes today. Because right now, people, if you really think about it, you are consuming way too many carbohydrates, way too many. And while both grains and vegetables are carbohydrates, most grains should be avoided or drastically reduced, and most vegetables should be increased. Now, your body actually prefers the carbohydrates in the vegetable form rather than the grain form, because it slows the conversion to simple sugars like glucose and decreases your insulin level. Now, grain carbohydrates, on the other hand, will increase your insulin levels and interfere with your ability to burn fat. So avoiding grains frequently causes weight loss. Unless you have a paradigm in your brain. A paradigm is a habit. It's that's in your brain that says the opposite. So you'll fight against it. You know you should. Someone told you, I'm telling you, to reduce grains, but in your brain you're going no. And so you reduce the grains and you don't lose the weight, and you wonder why you're not losing the weight. It's because in your mind you are refusing to accept the statement I just made, that reducing the grains will and increasing your vegetables will cause you to lose weight. Now, one of the main reasons for this weight loss effect is due to the stabilization of leptin, which is a hormone that sends signals to your body to reduce hunger and increase fat burning and reduce fat storage. Now, I could spend another hour on just leptin, but suffice it to say that in relation to weight loss and carbohydrates, if you're reducing your grains, you're going to cause your body to secrete a hormone that is going to cause you to burn fat, reduce fat storage, which will cause you to what? Think about this. Because when this is done, when your cells are communicating, when your cells are communicating properly, they can actually hear these messages. So it's not that the message is not given, your body's not hearing it. And that's one of the reasons why I consume glyconutrients in a powder or capsule form on a daily basis. But if you eat a diet high in fructose and grains, the fructose gets metabolized into fat and stored in your fat cells. If this process continues, your body will no longer hear the messages telling it to stop eating and burn fat. So it remains hungry and stores more fat, which means you increase in inches. It will also increase visceral fat, like belly fat, like love handle fat, like back fat, like thigh fat, et cetera, sending you on this vicious cycle of hunger, fat storage, and an increased risk of heart disease, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and more. So if you notice, I said the part that you can actually do something about, the fat storage part, where this cycle of hunger, fat storage, and reducing visceral fat. This is something you can actually do on a day-to-day basis. But if it progresses to a disease state, like heart disease, now you have to address that. You have to back into the cellular component or the mental component of eating properly. But when you actually reduce your intake of grains, your body will become progressively better able to hear these leptin signals again, telling it to burn more fat and reduce your fat stores, which means you'll begin to lose inches. If you don't want to lose weight, you can increase grains in your diet. So I'm not taking the grains away from you. I'm just saying that if you have a desire for your body to be at its optimal level, then you may want to eliminate, or at least drastically. When I say drastically, I mean drastically. If you take the palm of your hand, you probably don't want any more. And it should be cupped. Don't include your fingers or your thumb. That's more than enough grains right there. And I want you to remember, would you please remember this important principle? I don't want to tell you to do anything, but remember this important principle. Vegetables are generally good, but not all vegetables are created equal. For example, increasing your vegetable intake with salads is a good start, but I would advise avoiding iceberg lettuce. Why? Because it has hardly any nutritional value. Red and green leaf lettuce, along with romaine lettuce and spinach, are more nutritious than iceberg. In addition to that, finding organic vegetables is important. Also, I know somebody's saying, well, I can just wash them. Okay, not really, not true. So you want to, even with the organic, there's going to be some pesticide residue. So you want to get the organic so you can get the least pesticide residue. So when you do wash them, you're having to wash less off. Also, it's good to remember that the greener the vegetable, the more nutritious it'll be. Also, one third of your diet should be raw food and vegetables. And these should be an obvious choice to help achieve this. So when it comes to sweetness or sweeteners, because I know you want to hear. I mean, just everybody wants to hear about the sweeteners, and some of this might rub some of you the wrong way, and I hope it doesn't. But when it comes to sweeteners, probably the safest sweetener to use would be a high quality, operative word or words, operative phrase, high quality stevia. Would be the safest of the sweeteners. Stevia is a natural herb originated from South America that has been used for roughly 1,500 years, and it's been shown to be very safe. It is several times, several hundred times sweeter than sugar, so you don't need much. Now, lotan, or monk fruit, is another natural no-calorie sweetener that can be also used, but most people, they don't know what that is or they can't find it. But I have to mention it. But here is a list of natural sweeteners that should be avoided because they can wreak havoc in your body. So if you have something to write down, write this down. You might want to write this down. Corn syrup, and high fructose corn syrup. Fructose. I know it's a fruit sugar, but too much of it is bad. Maltodextrin. Now, you hear that word maltodextrin, but most people don't know it's made from corn, and 95% of the corn, at least in the United States, is genetically modified. So you need to stay away from maltodextrin. Dextrose, D-E-X-T-R-O-S-E, corn sugar, beet sugar because it's GMO. Sweetened fruit juice, you just should leave that on the shelf. Sucrose or table sugar, if you have it on your table, leave it on the table. Use it for other reasons, but don't put it in your mouth. Agave syrup. Now, this one, a lot of people have been using a lot of agave, but agave syrup, nope, can't use that one. And brown rice syrup. So here's a recommended vegetable list because they have at least, the list I'm going to give you has at least the least amount of pesticides. Broccoli, kiwi, mango, avocado, cabbage, asparagus, pineapple, bananas, sweet peas, the frozen sweet peas, the frozen organic sweet corn, and leafy green vegetables. Everything else must be purchased organic. You got definitely these. These you don't have to purchase organic, but everything else must be purchased organic. So, as an example, strawberries. You just go in, you see a big sale on strawberries, and you just go grab them. But if it doesn't say organic on it, put it back down. But you look at the organic, it's probably going to be twice as much, and you're going to get less. But the reason being is because of the pesticides. Your body can't really, it's going to wreak havoc in your system. So, let me recap this because I think we got like 90 seconds or something like that. Carbohydrates are found in almost all living things and play a critical role in the proper functioning of the immune system, fertilization, if you want to have a baby, blood clotting, and human development. A deficiency of carbohydrates can lead to impaired functioning of all of these systems. Now, in the Western world, deficiency is rare, but excessive consumption of carbohydrates, especially refined carbohydrates like sugar, corn syrup, can lead to obesity, type 2 diabetes, and cancer. And unhealthy high-carbohydrate foods include cereals, crackers, cakes, flours, jams, preserves, bread products, and potato products. Healthy high-carbohydrate foods include vegetables, legumes, limited whole grains, fruits, nuts, and yogurt. So be sensible in your eating. And by being sensible, I'm saying let your food be your medicine and let your medicine be your food. So this is Dr. Budweiser. I hope you got something out of this, and we'll see you on the next program.